life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Well, in a world where challenges are plentiful, it's easy for us to feel discouraged. Yet with enough guidance and support, most people can achieve more in life than they ever dreamed possible. Well, beyond your fears is everything you ever dreamed of. But the Dr. Stem Show will give the voiceless a voice and the hopeless hope. And now, here she is, Dr. Stem.
As I start this show this week, it's interesting because I'm going to be talking to a gentleman who is going to help young and old explore careers in the golden age of technology. So my intention with this show is to be able to encourage, empower, and inspire that young man, young lady, old man, old lady, middle-aged person that is, you know, has been thinking about changing their careers, starting a new career, and thinking that maybe it was too hard to explore, maybe it was not possible. So I'm excited to have my guest, Mr. Ngoni Murandu, who is a fellow Zimbabwean. And, you know, he's going to help us about his journey to, you know, doing the things that he's doing now as an information services and chief information officer. That's a big title for all of you that don't know that. It's a big title, but we'll talk more about it. Welcome to the show, Mr. Murandu.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stem. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
I know I have this, you know, whole full biography that I have of you. So what I usually do is, you know, I like for you to be able to tell us a little bit about your background. And as we talk, I'll begin to tell people, you know, where you are and what you've done. So I said you're a fellow Zimbabwean, and tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I was born in Harare. I'm the son of a gentleman from the village of Seke, which is just outside Harare. And my mother is from Rusape, which is in Manicaland, a few hundred kilometers from Mutare. Grew up in Harare for the most part. And as I was growing up, my passion, which was handed down to me from my father, was to be an accountant. And I initially wanted to be an accountant, a chartered accountant specifically, mainly because both my parents thought that was an ideal career for me, and ultimately I shared that interest that they had. But after getting my first job as an auditor at PricewaterhouseCoopers, I found that my interest was more toward computing and computers, and I gravitated more towards the information technology, even as I worked through the accounting world. So after some years, I switched over to computers. I was fortunate enough to get a job with IBM Worldwide. And that job with IBM introduced me to the world of corporate computing, computing in support of businesses. And after that, I moved up a little bit within that organization, but realized that without actually going back to school to specifically study an undergraduate degree in computers or information systems, I wasn't going to progress. So I made a very difficult decision at the time for someone who was earning a paycheck to go back to school and study information systems. After that, I got into a job in the pharmaceutical world. In pharmaceuticals, I was there from 2003 to 2008, and met a great mentor, someone who guided me and helped me think about progressing my career forward. And it was that very same gentleman who told me about an opportunity for me to switch fields and join the energy industry. And I took a very big step with my family and moved to Anchorage, Alaska in 2008 to join a oil field services and support company in Anchorage, Alaska as a vice president and chief information officer. And from then on, I've been in the energy industry for the last 10 years. From Alaska, I moved to Portland, Oregon, and supported a company called Northwest Natural Gas. And I was there for 4 years. After that, moved to Las Vegas and now support a company called Southwest Gas here in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Wow. Okay. There's so many lessons in everything that you've just said. And thank you for sharing. Wow. Wow. So let's get back, right? You have two sons.
I do.
What are their names, by the way?
Their names are Carl and Mark.
How old is Carl?
Carl is 14 years old, and Mark is a very precocious 10 years old.
Oh, man. My kind of guys. The young people. Okay. So, yes. Carl, you know, let's say it's now your turn. Carl, you want Carl to be an accountant like your parents did. And then you change that career that your parents wish for. How old were you, and how easy or difficult was that for you to change from what they wanted you to do to what you wanted to do?
You know, it was, looking back, quite difficult, because I think in many cases, especially for those of us who grew up in Zimbabwe, there were very few opportunities that were assured success. And so when my parents looked for the accounting field for something for me to do, it was because they wanted me to have a comfortable life. You know, most of our parents always want you to go a step further than they did. They want you to succeed and progress your family legacy. So when I decided to switch over to the computer world, it took a bit of convincing on my part to both my parents, and I think I was about 20 years old at the time, that this was not an excessive risk. At the time, you know, computers were just switching into the internet age. Things were rather tenuous, I think, at best, in terms of the startup culture, the dot-com culture. And my parents were naturally concerned on whether or not I was picking a field that was that had a fair amount of stability within it. So it was a difficult decision. One thing that I think ended up being a good sense of middle ground is both my parents wanted me to have a four-year degree. And if it meant that I was going to have a four-year degree by pursuing computers, they were happy with that. So I think we managed to hit a compromise. The lesson that I came away from that is that, you know, as parents, we may have a vision for what our children should end up doing. Yes. However, if we allow them to support their passions, if we allow them to flourish in what they are passionate and excited about, sometimes that can have more positive outcomes than we had imagined.
Thank you, because that was going to be my next question and what advice you would give, you know, parents, because a lot of parents struggle with that because they still have this, you know, vision that their children should be something. My parents wanted me actually to be in computer science, which was interesting because in the 80s, you know, when I was coming here, computers were starting to come up big in Zimbabwe. So they wanted me to do computers, and I didn't see myself doing computers, didn't have, you know, even the passion for computers, which is interesting that yours was the opposite. But for me, you know, it was about, you know, talking to people. So I could see myself as an attorney, as a lawyer, anything that would allow me to help people, talk to people through it, and be able to support people. That's what I saw myself in. But guess what? It was difficult for me to convince them, even though I was all the way here in the United States and they were in Zimbabwe, for me to say, I'm changing. Because then I know I can't do computers, and I wasn't interested in the classes that I was doing. I literally just failed them because I probably wasn't focusing because it wasn't my thing, you see.
Sure. And I think it's great, Dr. Stem, that you followed your passion, because you look at what it has resulted in. You're doing a wonderful job. And I think so many people benefit from listening to your radio show and reading your book. So I think in the long run, you are a testament to the fact that if you do follow your passion, it's worthwhile.
And I think, you know, thank you for that. Both of us are, which is awesome, because then as we put this together, we are, you know, hoping that parents and children alike, that children are not afraid to convince or talk to their parents about what it is that they really, really enjoy doing and what they really, really love doing. That way, you know, they can follow your path, their path. The other thing that I'm going to probably ask you about is, your career hasn't, you know, put you in a stable place in one place for a long time. You've been moving a lot. And for many families, I also do couples and family counseling. For many families, it is such a challenge and difficult, you know, thing for them to deal with and cope with, especially the ones that are in, you know, in the service, in the Army, Air Force, or even, you know, in positions like yours, where you find a position that continues to open up doors in different places. How easy has it been for you guys, or challenging for you and your wife and the family, to move the way that you have?
You know, I have to give all the credit in the world to my wife, who I think is extremely supportive and very patient. You know, the when I worked in the pharmaceutical industry, I worked for a company called Mylan Incorporated. And Mylan is a manufacturer of generic medications. They manufacture, I think they're the number one producer of generic medications in the United States today. With Mylan, I was working on the corporate computing team. And what that meant was, whenever the company would buy smaller pharmaceutical companies or operations across the world, it was my job, after the deal had been closed, to go in and help integrate the computing solutions for those smaller companies we had acquired. In fact, it happened so much that when I initially joined Mylan back in 2003, Mylan was about a $3 to $4 billion company. Today, Mylan is about a $10 billion company, and all that growth occurred in the years from about 2003 till today. The downside of that was it meant that I almost lived out of a suitcase, and anywhere that we were, while my family was at home in Morgantown, West Virginia, I would have to travel to those locations. So I've been all through Western Europe. I've been through most of Southern Africa. And in each of these places, I would be gone for 6 to 8 weeks, sometimes longer, as we did post-merger integrations. It got so extreme in that when my wife was pregnant with our second son, Mark, for the 7 months, out of my 9 months of my wife's pregnancy, I was on the road. I was elsewhere. And so when my friend gave me this opportunity to move to Alaska, it was actually rather interesting in that when I told my wife that there's been an offer of a job, it's in Anchorage, Alaska, it's to work with an oil field services firm, the first question she asked me, rather than about Alaska, was, how much travel is there?
Oh, wow.
And so that made a big difference. And because the job was focused in Alaska, with just travel back and forth within the region of Alaska, it actually brought us together. So she was willing to move to what is essentially almost an alien part of the world and experience a new culture and a new set of people, which turned out to be just fantastic and a great adventure for us. But she was willing to do so because it meant I was home. It meant I was closer to the family. And at that point, you know, our boys were very young. Carl was about 6 years old, and Mark was only a few months old when we moved to Alaska. So in terms of disruption to the children, it wasn't as impactful as it could have been if they were older. However, as we've moved since then, when we first moved to Portland, Oregon from Alaska, I do recall that our firstborn son was a little challenged in that he had made friends. He had made friends in elementary school. And so moving to another place away from his friends was something that was intimidating for him, even though he was still quite open to experiencing it. The move to Las Vegas, however, was probably our most challenging yet, because both the boys had established relationships and friends in Portland, Oregon. And sometimes it's worthwhile sitting down as a family and having a very clear and candid discussion about the benefits and the rationale or the reasons for a family to move. Ultimately, this has been probably our best move yet. The family is very happy in Las Vegas. The weather is great. The community has been very receptive and welcoming for us. Our kids have made new friends and new connections in their new schools. But you're absolutely right, Dr. Stem. These are the types of things that you don't do unilaterally. These are family decisions that require.
So are there any plans of moving?
You know, I don't think so. I think, you know, being a boy from Zimbabwe, Nevada has the same temperate climate that Harare had. I found it quite interesting in that when I first got to Nevada and started driving outside of the Las Vegas Strip, I noticed that the houses had construction and duro walls similar to what we have in Harare. So I felt more at home in Nevada than I've been anywhere else in the United States. I think this is it. I think the job I have today is extremely challenging. Yeah. And I'm one of those people that enjoys work when there are a lot of challenges and problems to solve. And I think my wife and my family are very happy in the city.
Well, as a champion, you know, and advocate for Carl and Mark, I also think that, you know, your moves should be after they finish or go away in college, because now they're at a critical age, 14 and 10, that those challenges and problems that they face in school, and also, you know, they're in a place where they are now starting to attach to, you know, friends, community, and the environment around them. So it'll be difficult for them to deal with any moves now if you guys start, you know, decide to do that. So just wanted to put it out there so that you understand too that, you know, as teenagers, they really struggle with, you know, those kind of moves or, you know, anything that can shift them from an environment that they're in.
You're absolutely right, Dr. Stem, and that is top of mind for us too. I think the relocation have been purely coincidental and really as a result of opportunities that were very difficult to turn down. Yeah. However, now that we're here, you know, I think our intent was not to live a nomadic life, but to look for the ideal environment in which to raise our two boys. And we think this is it. So it would have to go through a very different form of analysis or a very different set of circumstances for us to consider relocation, because this really does tick all the boxes in terms of raising our two boys in an ideal environment.
Wow. You know, so excited for you guys. So if you're just listening to us today, I have Mr. Ngoni Mrandu, who is a Vice President, Information Services and Information Officer. As you just heard, they now reside with his family in... is it Nevada?
That's correct.
Oh, okay, in Nevada. Now, is that Los Angeles?
No, that is Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. You see? No. Is that Los Angeles? That's Las Vegas, Nevada. Okay. So,
that's right.
Yeah, we're talking to him about his career and especially on the careers of the golden age of technology. We'll dig more into that when we come back. So what I'm going to do is let me take a quick break and I'll come back to continue this conversation that we're talking about his journey and also how you, if you want to get into this corporate world and do the things that he's doing and more, you can get, you know, those opportunities.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
We'll Welcome back. We had an interesting first segment, but you know what? Let me just summarize that first segment for all of you, because then I found myself during the break talking to Mr. Marandu, and here we are with some great points that I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. The audience might want to hear that when we get back into the segment. So so here's a little bit of what I was, you know, saying to him. The first thing that I can say is I was commending him and his wife for having been in a couple that decided together, because for, you know, our young people today, the most difficult and challenging thing is to have two parents that are not on the same page. So as you heard him explain, they decided together on the moves that they did. And as I was saying to him, sometimes you have to follow opportunities. You have to have the courage to follow where the opportunities are. To be told to go to Anchorage, Alaska. My brother lives there. He's a cop in Anchorage. I wish, you know, he had known when Mr. Mirandi and his family was there. They could have, you know, probably met over there, because he's a policeman in Anchorage, Alaska. But I always...
That would have been wonderful.
Yeah, I know. I get chills when I hear Anchorage because it's cold. I've visited over there and it's freezing cold. But sometimes because of the opportunities and what, you know, that meant to your family, to for you to not travel, you move there, it's very commendable.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stemmen. I think you're absolutely right. It is a family affair. You know, I consider our marriage a partnership. And if anything, I think my wife's well-being and her happiness is paramount for me. And so when we look at any move, whether it's to Alaska or to Portland, Oregon, what we look at are the pros and cons. First among those is, does that move ultimately benefit the family in the long run? Will it create opportunities for our children? Will it enable us to open more doors for them and then create a greater sense of security? And then we weigh that against what it is we're giving up, you know, our sense of community, maybe relationships we've established at that present point in time. And so we try to be as mindful and, as thoughtful as we can before we make any ultimate decision together.
That's really commendable. Now, the other thing that I was talking to you about is, you know what? We're talking about the age of technology. We're also talking about options that young and old can have in this age of technology as far as, you know, technology is concerned. Tell us a little bit about, when we're talking about the age of technology, what opportunities are we talking about?
You know, that's a great question. Technology has become such a diverse field today. For example, what I do in my profession is I support a business. Or the company that I work for is a distribution company for natural gas here in the desert Southwest. And so what I do is make sure that all the systems inside the company are well-functioning and support the primary permission. However, other opportunities in this field may be in the manufacturing of computing equipment, whether it is the computers themselves or components that go into the computers. And here in the United States, one area that has been a significant boom has been in the development of applications and software that are used in order to conduct business or just simply go about our daily lives today. I think we're in the golden age of technology because the point of entry or the level of investment that you need to make in order to start up or enter into the technology field is a lot less than it used to be. It used to be that you had to have a very specialized sense of training or like myself had to go through a bachelor's and a master's degree before you really could get a foothold into the business. But today there are free online classes on how to program, free online classes on how to develop and build your own apps. And I think that has created a leveling field across the globe that has made technology something of an equalizer in terms of potential socioeconomic growth for people looking for advancement of their own personal situations.
Thank you for that. I read in an article that you came out in the, Las Vegas, what was the name of that newspaper again?
The Las Vegas Sun.
And I was reading in there about you having reason from, you know, working in McDonald's and cleaning offices. let's talk a little about that, because then there are a lot of people that are so discouraged because then they think if that's where they're starting, that there's no hope or there's no other place that they can go to. So, you know, when did you work in McDonald's? Because now it sounds so much, you know, further away in history.
Well, I don't recall working at McDonald's, but I can certainly tell you that when I was in college, I worked in the cafeteria.
Oh,
and yeah. And so in the cafeteria at our university, at West Virginia University, the cafeteria was in the basement of the building that had the dining hall, which meant that it got very hot and very steamy in there. And one of my jobs in college was to be the dishwasher. And I think, you know, when you're in those types of situations, you spend 6 hours or 8 hours in a very difficult environment trying to get a job like that done, you have to remember why you're doing it. I remember as I was in that position, there would be days where I did not want to go to work. There would be days where it was difficult for me to go to work. And I had to remind myself that, you know, I had a mission. I had a reason that I was in college. I had a reason that I was trying to move myself forward. And that North Star is something that gets you out of bed when it's 5 o'clock in the morning and you know, maybe it's snowing outside and it's difficult to do so. So I think for any person that's in those types of positions, nobody starts, or very few people, I think, begin with a silver spoon in their mouths. They're in the minority. I think that's why they call them the 1%. For the rest of us, we have to put in our time and energy and effort into moving forward. And think of it as a snapshot in time. Think of it as a moment in which you are earning your ability to gain that deferred freedom or that deferred security. And I think those types of investments are always fruitful.
Wow, thank you for that. Because then, you know, I know even there are many people that are not only from Zimbabwe, but from other countries that have not been able to come here and go, you know, straight to college, you know, just like you and I had the opportunities to do that. But then they get to, you know, take a step back and think, well, you know, I guess it's too late. I've been in this country for so long. I don't think it's possible, you know, for me to do that. What do you say to those, you know, people that have been here for a while and probably think it's over?
You know, I don't think it's ever over. I think my advice to those folks that are in that type of situation is take the first step. Even if it's taking an online class or going to a community college and taking a community college in computing. As I mentioned before, this is a golden age in terms of technology. And if you are willing to put the work in, the benefits are there. We're fortunate here in the United States that right now, you know, unemployment is around 3.5%. Which literally means that they have what economists technically call full employment. Employers are looking for people to come and work. Employers are looking for people to hire. And so this is a buyer's market if you're willing to invest in your education or willing to invest in a particular career that you're passionate about. And it never is too late. I work with professionals every day in my line of work today who decided to switch to the technology field late in their careers. In fact, one of my direct reports is a gentleman who started in the operations field of our business and many, many years into his career decided to make the switch toward the technology field and is flourishing in that regard.
So I know in your current position, you are in leadership, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have, in your benefits, do you have that, you know, component where they pay for education for anybody who's there?
We do. So we offer what's called a tuition reimbursement, which is to encourage anyone who wants to get an education while they're working on the job. If they pass a class that they took, particularly toward an accredited educational program, we will pay for that particular class. And I think a lot of employers do that today. In fact, I believe is McDonald's, one of the employers you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. they have a tuition program. So if you're working for an employer that has those types of programs, I highly encourage people to take advantage of those. Those things are very good and can be a great assistance if financial sustainability is challenging. And education will always be something that helps you move forward.
So this company is Southwest Gas, because I know we haven't mentioned that company where you're working now, and they've been gracious enough to give us an opportunity to talk to you and encourage other young professionals, middle-aged professionals, old professionals that want to switch their roles and be in the IT world. So, you know, I just want to express my gratitude, you know, to them as well.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan.
Okay, so, wow, this is getting to be quite interesting. So here's what I know for sure. If a young man or woman listens to this, you know, sure, right, there's a part that you said, well, there are, you know, courses that people can actually take online to start, you know, I mean, just getting acquainted to the profession and knowing about IT, right?
Yes.
And here goes them, because then, of course, they hear different than us adults. Well, I don't want to go to college and I don't want to do anything else, because I heard on that show that you can actually learn on online, and you know they do. They know to access all these programs, you know, and everything online and get trained in something. Is that good enough for them to get a job under you?
You know, I think it's a start. I would always encourage the young men and women to get a degree or to go to college if they can. What a lot of the online courses will do is they will give you an opportunity to understand what it is the particular field is. So as I mentioned before, in technology, there are probably three different types of disciplines. You can be someone who programs the technology or develops the solution. So if you're thinking about, I may want to be a programmer, it probably would not hurt to look at these online courses and see if programming is for you. Programming requires a lot of focus. However, it is quite repetitive and can be tedious for people who are creative and expect to see instant results. So, but if you're patient and you're a methodical type of person who likes order and sorting things in a technical way, then programming is just the job for you. However, there are also jobs in IT that deal with the support of the networks or support of the physical computers themselves, the hardware support. And those may be for people who are more tactile, like to work with their hands, like to see things turn on and work instantly in the context of a few hours or less than a day. And if you're that type of person, then that might be something for you to pursue. The last layer are folks who provide support. People who come up to existing solutions and look to see what's wrong or help someone move to the next level in what they're trying to accomplish technologically. And if you're a people person and you like working alongside people, that may be for you. So these online opportunities can give you a window into whether or not you can find for yourself that this is something you're interested in. But if it does turn out that this is something you're interested in, I encourage you to then pursue it to the next level. Like anything else, we do our best when we specialize. And college, whether it's community, 4-year or beyond, is a form of specialization. And specialization is always beneficial to your career in the long run.
That's awesome. So if you were looking for people that, you know, can work under you in, you know, at Southwest Gas, you know, at this moment, what are some of the qualifications of the people that you look for if you're hiring?
Right. So we have a number of open positions right now at our website at southwestgas.com. So I certainly encourage any young people or middle professionals and senior professionals looking for careers to look at our website. However, what we're usually looking for, what all those positions share in common, is some form of passion or some indication that you really care about technology. We prefer that you have a bachelor's degree at the minimum for a lot of our positions. And for those that we don't have a degree requirement for, we're looking for a form of certification. So there are certain certifications you can take out there, particularly in the networking realm or in the cybersecurity realm. And those certifications almost work in some way as a parallel to a degree where they show that you've invested and been tested in a particular form of specialization. We also look for project management professionals, and these are folks who have taken the project management certification. And that also shows that they've invested and taken the time to study the material and know the work that it requires to be a professional in that field.
Awesome. Wow. This has been very helpful. I never even thought that we could go there and help people even look for jobs. So that's really great that they can have, you know, those kind of opportunities as well. And, you know, there are some people that probably don't even look into becoming going into the leadership positions. So for those that are looking to get into leadership positions, do you have any advice for them as well?
Yes. I think, you know, getting into leadership position, first of all, it needs to be an introspective endeavor. You need to ask yourself whether it is something that you truly want. Yeah. One of the benefits that we have, I think, in most professions today is society has evolved, in my opinion, to the point where we are willing to understand that there are certain roles where you can have a individual contributor, someone who can move up in the organization or be promoted within an organization without necessarily having to be a manager of people. In our organization, we call those principals or individual contributors. And that's one way in which you can move your career forward. But if you truly want to be in a position of leadership, leadership means working with people, managing people, and leading and directing. And that is a big responsibility. It is important that you, first of all, ask yourself if you're ready and willing to take on that responsibility, because all too often it is sometimes perceived purely as a status rather than all that comes with it, which is the fact that you're holding in your hands or you're directing under your responsibility the careers and perhaps the happiness and the satisfaction within their jobs of many people that then report to you as a leader. But if you do decide that that is what you want to do, then I think invest in learning what management is all about. Invest in finding a mentor, someone who's already in a leadership role that can help tell you what leadership means and what management means. Also, take some time to read. There are a lot of really great books that are out there that help you understand what it means to manage and what it means to lead. One of my favorite is Franklin Covey's The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. I remember reading that book as a young man, and it made a great influence on me and left a great impression on me in terms of what it meant to want to lead.
That is excellent advice. You know what? I want to talk more about mentorship, because I was going to ask you about that in our third segment. So let me take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Okay, I'm excited that, you know, we get to get back on talking in our third segment, because in the second segment, we ended up with you talking about mentoring. And my question to you is, are you currently mentoring any, you know, children, people in your current position or city where you are now?
Yes, I am, Dr. Stem. So here in Las Vegas, I am on the advisory board of a foundation known as the Uplift Foundation. And the Uplift Foundation's mission is to provide mentorship and guidance to young men who are in the urban community here in Las Vegas, Nevada. In addition to that, I try to informally provide mentorship, to any folks who reach out to me personally, whether it be through email or any other method, and just answer questions where I can and provide some advice.
Awesome. You know, you're going to regret that you say that, because then we're going to have all your contacts on our show.
Sure.
So don't be surprised if you start getting a little bit more requests on social media and people asking questions, because that's usually what happens when you do the radio show.
Oh, that's totally okay. I'm easily contacted through LinkedIn. I think that's the best way to find me. And my name is my profile, so it's easy to get a hold of me.
Yes. Okay. So in this segment, I know we've been talking a lot about career and in IT. I also want to make sure that I can ask you some questions that are a little bit inspirational, motivational. When people get to know you, these are questions that probably your boys would appreciate one day when they get to listen to this interview and say, oh my God, I didn't know that about Daddy. Okay. So what are you most proud of?
You know, I think I'm most proud of my family, Dr. Stem. If I could look back, you know, many of us ask ourselves if we could go back in time and do things over, what would we do differently? And for myself, I don't think I would change much, because all those lessons, the good and the bad, have resulted in the blessing that is the family that I have today. And so I think I'm most proud of the fact that we have a close-knit nuclear family. I'm very proud of my parents for having raised me and given me the opportunity that has allowed me to be here today. And, you know, I count my blessings as often as I can.
Excellent. Do you ever get scared? And if so, what are you scared of?
I think every person has to have a healthy sense of optimism toward the future, but we have to temper that with a sense of risk and risk measurement. If anything, I worry about where I see our kids and the future for our kids. I think there's a tremendous amount of opportunity, but I also think that our children today are challenged with a lot more distractions and opportunities to be led astray or led aside, as we did. You know, for when I was a young person, I remember just leaving the house all day during the summer holidays was something I could do without my parents having to be concerned for my safety. I don't think today children have that kind of freedom that we had when we were much younger. And yet there's so many things for them to do and to learn. But there are almost an equal amount of concerns out there in the environment today.
Isn't that sad? Because then I was talking to another guest last week, and we were talking about, you know, the safety and also, you know, other things that parents have to worry about today. When you see the school shootings, and to have a young person going to school thinking, what if there's a gunman that comes to my school today? What would I do? Where would I hide? Those are some things that we never had to worry about.
You're absolutely right, Dr. Stem. I think it's a unique thing about the reality that we live in today. It is very concerning for all of us as parents to have to think that any day is a day where potential tragedy could occur at some place in the country. And in some ways, I think it is even more terrifying that it happens so often. There's an element of desensitization of the population to these types of events. I am optimistic, being a technologist. I am hopeful that somehow those of us in the technology field will find a way in which we can help with this crisis, because I do believe it is a crisis. And I'm hopeful that as a population and as a nation, we're going to look inward a little more at some point and find a way out of this.
But then I think it's also, I mean, it's scary that people have to leave, you know, I mean, and be scared of just waking up and going out the doors, adults and young, you know, alike. So, you know, given that, my hope is that, you know what, we become, you know, optimistic, yes, with the reservations, but then to just make the best, you know, of life that we can.
Absolutely. There are a fair amount of challenges in the globe today. You know, I think about our relatives and friends back in the continent in Africa. I think throughout the continent, there are many different challenges. You look at our friends in other parts of the world too, from Venezuela on out through the Middle East. I think it is certainly a tumultuous time. But at the same time, you know, I think there's hope for the future.
Yeah.
I think, you know, whether it's been through the advent of social media, or the very fact that, you know, mobile telephones allowed us to leapfrog through an entire technological advance in the rural areas of sub-Saharan Africa. I think the future can provide opportunities for all of us. I think, you know, Rwanda is a bright spot in terms of their perspective and how they've embraced technology for the betterment of Rwanda. And I think there are many other examples that we could follow.
Yeah, that's true. Now, what would colleagues say is your best quality?
Well, I hope my colleagues would say that I'm a good facilitator. I tend to want to inspire ideas. I'm an out-of-the-box thinker. I tend to think toward the edge and want to push toward the edge. But once I have the idea, I'm more than happy to bring in the intelligent people, the people smarter than myself, who know exactly how we can get to that vision and how we can execute on that vision, and allow them to flourish, allow them to let their ideas come forth and make it a reality.
Yeah. You know, just in that same line of questions, would you rather be liked or respected, and why?
You know, I think it's difficult to always be liked. While it's, you know, as human beings, I think it gives us a wonderful sensation and it allows us to feel a sense of self-satisfaction. But I think to be respected is sometimes more valuable, because it means that in certain cases you've had the courage or have had the conviction to say no to a request, or to politely decline something that you know is against your principles. And that results in a sense of respect. So given a choice, I would prefer both. But if I had to pick one, I think it would be better to be respected.
That's a good one. Remember, you know, you're from Zimbabwe like myself, as we said in the first segment. Remember, they used to ask us a question, what are your hobbies? I don't hear that question anymore, you know, being asked the kids. And I think that's why sometimes kids, you know, I mean, don't have the same vision and enthusiasm that we had when we were growing up. So with that, what are your hobbies?
Well, my hobby, I only have one, I think, that I am probably obsessive about, and that is the game of chess, which I stumbled on in a rather unique way. When I was in third grade, I think if I had been born in this current era, I probably would have been diagnosed with attention deficit disorder or something along that line, because I was very hyperactive and very engaging in class. But my third grade teacher, a lady by the name of Mrs. Pillsborough, thought that it would be good for me to take up chess. And the intent there was to help slow me down a little bit, help me focus, help me think before I acted and plan ahead. And all those traits did come through by picking up the game of chess. And I've been playing chess ever since I was in the third grade. And I enjoy it. In fact, I am usually playing about 5 games concurrently each time online. And I don't know that I'm a very good chess player or an excellent chess player by any means, but it's certainly been something that allows me to stay focused and keep my brain working.
Wow, watch out, because you might be OCD too now that you're playing 5 games. And become obsessive about, you know how we have, you know, diagnosis for everything.
Yes.
Yeah. So, do you have any songs that you like? Do you like music at all?
I had an uncle growing up who loved jazz, and the one thing that I cherish and remember as a memory, my uncle used to pick me up on Saturday mornings, and we would go and get our hair cut together, and all the way to the barbershop, and coming back, we would listen to jazz music. And after that, it became something that stuck with me. So I still listen to the classics, you know, George Benson and Earl Klugh. Yeah. But I'm a smooth jazz aficionado. I'm very fortunate to live on the West Coast here in the U.S. So artists such as Norman Brown and others call this area their home. So we get to partake in their shows and enjoy more jazz.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. What's your claim to fame?
You know, I don't have a claim to fame. Maybe that is my claim to fame, that I do not have a claim to fame.
Well, you've been out in the newspapers, and you probably have been, you know, so that's like you've had your 5 minutes, more than 5 minutes of fame. And here we are on, you know, the Dr. Stem Show. You have a whole hour of fame, right?
Yeah. No, I guess my claim to fame will be that I was on the Dr. Stem Show. I think the peak of my fame. No, I contrary to most, I'm actually I'm a homebody. I prefer to spend time at home. I'm not very outgoing. When we do tend to go out, we tend to do it as a family.
So, if we are talking about pet peeves, do you have any pet peeves?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I think my greatest pet peeve is probably social media. You know, it's kind of interesting. It's both a blessing and a curse.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us that are far away from places where we grew up, I think it is a great way to be connected, and a great way to keep in touch with friends all over the globe. I have friends who have settled in Australia, some in Singapore, and many other places. And it feels like we can stay in touch through that wonderful invention. But I think it can also be a curse, because I do think that in some ways, particularly with certain cultures, it can lead to a sense of competitiveness and a sense of Schadenfreude, which I think it can be challenging and make other people unhappy or make them dissatisfied with their own personal condition. So I think social media has many positives, but it comes with it certain negatives too.
You're right, and it continues. It's interesting to hear from you, the tech guy, the IT guy, you know, who we think you guys are probably, you know, the cause of why we have so much technology and so many, you know, so much gigs that we have to learn. But even Steve Jobs, before he died, I mean, he talked about how he was, you know, he didn't give his kids the computers, the iPads and everything to play with and to, you know, use all the time. He was also able to monitor their use, just like you spoke about in the earlier segment.
Yes, I do think that, you know, like anything else, moderation is good, whether we're talking about technology or we're talking about food or we're talking about anything that we enjoy socially. I think moderation is the key, and social media or screen time, as we called it earlier, is no different. I think if you're able to do so and balance it with everything else in your life, it'll be just fine. But I think an excessive amount of any one of these can have some negative consequences.
So what's the best piece of advice that you've ever received that you would like to share with the audience?
You know, I think the best piece of advice that I ever received was from one of my favorite mentors. His name was David Springate.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked with me at Mylan Pharmaceuticals and ultimately also in Alaska. David's advice was always, you know, your reputation and your word are everything. And, you know, I never really realized that. I never appreciated it until after he had passed away and I started reflecting on our time together. And I think he is right. You know, in terms of skills, you can acquire skills. You can read up and you can get yourself more informed or more educated. In terms of material things, you can accumulate material things. But a reputation is something that you can work very hard to build and you can lose in a heartbeat or lose in a very short amount of time. And it really is built upon your principles and your ethics and your perspective of the world. So I do think that if I can tell anybody that's starting out their career or at the beginning of taking a new path, that as you do so, figure out who you want to be, figure out what your core principles are, figure out those lines that you yourself will not cross, or define who you want to be, and stick to them. Stick to them as you progress through life. Stick to them as you go through the good circumstances and the bad, because those are things that are going to help you feel satisfied with the decisions you've made.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I say no more. This has been a great show. I have been talking to Mr. Ngoni Murandu, who's the Vice President of Information Services and Chief Information Officer at, tell me the company again.
Southwest Gas.
Southwest Gas. So do you have a website that people can, you know, talk to you more, or you have social media, you say, that they can... LinkedIn.
Yeah. So I'm Ngoni Murandu on LinkedIn, and you know, I keep up to date on that. So folks, feel free to reach out.
All right. Thank you so much for being our guest today. As I always say to all of you, this is Dr. Stem. Be encouraged and encouraging.